We're going to be looking at one of my favorite psalms. Sometimes it is really good for us to open up a psalm and do a deep dive on it. And that's what I want to do with us this evening. We're going to be looking at Psalm 102. So if you open up your Bible to Psalm 102, we will be looking at this psalm that has something that we all need. There's a subject that I don't know if we can possibly talk enough about the importance of. And we just got done experiencing why we do it. Prayer. We just had a prayer tonight for all these names, because we know that there's a God listening to them. But sometimes we need a bigger explanation for what it is that we need to be praying about and why we need to make prayer such an important part of our lives. You know, you can't talk about Christianity without talking about prayer. It is integral to it, because God has gone through all the trouble of communicating with us, giving us His Bible. He also expects us to communicate back. And not only does He expect it to us, He opened the doorway for us to do so. And there comes a time in our life, though, where maybe our prayer life suffers. Maybe we let our prayers become less and less often. Or maybe we let our prayers become rote, you know, like something we just say because that's what we've always said. You know, I've met people where, you know, they'll lead a prayer for the Lord's Supper, and it's the exact same prayer every single time, or they lead the prayer for to open up worship. It's the exact same prayer every single time. And, you know, for somebody with nerves, I can understand why you might do that. But maybe that happens in your personal prayer too. You know, God is not looking for something we've memorized. God is looking for us to talk to Him with our hearts, to bring our concerns to Him, to bring our cares to Him. And what this psalm does for us is give us an example for why and how we should pray. If we were to summarize Psalm 102, I mean, there's a number of ways you could do it, but tonight I want us to look at it in three parts. In the beginning, verses 1 through 2, in this opening, we're going to see that we should pray because God listens. There's a God who's actually listening. We're not, you know, talking through the phone and nobody else is on the other end. God is listening. And then number 2, God cares. We're not talking at God. We're talking to Him, and He cares what we have to say. It is important to our God what we want to bring to Him. And then last, God endures. There's all sorts of reasons that we could list as to why we should pray, but these are the three that we're going to focus on tonight in this psalm. We have a God, we need to pray because there's a God who listens, because God cares, and because God endures. If after this lesson you don't have a strengthened relationship with prayer, well, then I guess that's my fault. But but I promise you that you're going to grow tonight. And it's not because of my words. It's not because of anything I'm going to say. It's because of the words of this psalm. What we're going to see in this scripture is exactly the explanation for these things. So let's begin in Psalm 102. Again, if you haven't turned there already, go ahead and turn there. Psalm 102. We're going to look at first verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily." First thing I want us to notice here is that whoever is writing this psalm, and it appears that we don't exactly know who is writing this. It could be a prayer of David. We're not positive about that. But the psalmist speaks to God about a problem that he has. And it's not something small. It's something that is very grievous to him. He is talking about something that is bringing him great sorrow. Let my cry come to you. When do we cry out to God? When we're sorrowful? When there's something that's heavy laid on our hearts? When we just don't know who to turn to and we cry out? We shout towards our God. Do you notice something about how the psalmist is shouting? He expects an answer. He's expecting to be heard. He is showing that he is confident that there's a God who is listening to him. Look at what he says. He says, "Let my cry come to you." He's not saying that as, you know, maybe if you're willing, God, let my cry come to you. He's not saying that, you know, if you're willing to give permission this one time. No, let my cry come to you. That is somebody who knows what's about to happen. That's somebody who is expectant of his God to receive his cry. Do we pray like that? Do we pray as confident people who have a God that's listening to them? Or do we pray to God not sure if it's worthy enough to come to his ears? But it's more confident than just the knowledge that God is going to answer. He's also expectant that it's going to be important to God. Look at what he says. He says, "Answer me speedily," right? "Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily." That is not somebody who isn't sure if he's getting the answer. That is somebody who knows that their God is listening and that it is important what I have to say. He's not putting it off to answer at some other time. You know, it's not on his stack of memos that, and he's going to get it to it when he gets to it. No. He says, "Answer me speedily." Do we pray to God, "Answer me speedily"? Or do we think that we pray when you're willing, when it's not an inconvenience to you? Maybe you'll hear my prayer. We have a God that is listening to us. He is not putting you on the back burner. He is listening to you now. And that's what this psalmist explains to us. God is a God who welcomes his children to come boldly to his throne. When Jesus came to this earth, in the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us a message that I don't know if we consider the gravity of. When he says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, "Ask and it will be given to you." Jesus comes to this earth and he says, you can be confident that whatever you ask of the Lord, your Lord is listening to you. Listening to the point where Jesus can say, if you ask, he is going to give. Do we have that confidence in the way that we pray to God? We should. So if that's true, if we have a God that's listening to us, then why do we neglect it? Why do we put our prayer off? Why do we let things get in the way of our prayers? I'm guilty of this myself. Why do we forget to pray? If I have access to the Creator of the universe and He is willing to listen to me, why in the world do I forget that I have that kind of privilege to speak to the Lord and know that He's going to answer me? Maybe we don't because we don't want to bother God. My issues in my mind aren't important enough for Him to think about. I'm wrong. You're wrong. Our issues are important to God. Maybe we don't actually have faith that He's really going to answer. Sometimes when we say, "Lord, if it be your will," we put maybe a little bit too much emphasis on "if it be your will" than we should. Because, of course, the things that we should be praying should be according to God's will, right? I shouldn't be praying for things that a Christian shouldn't be praying for. So if that's the case, well, then why would I not expect him to listen? Why would I not expect him to answer? I should have faith that he's going to. Sometimes we don't pray or we allow ourselves to forget to pray because we're ashamed to go before him in prayer. If you have sin in your life, if you have sin on your heart, there's probably nothing more embarrassing if you really believe in God than to actually go before him in prayer and admit those things to him, to tell him about the things that you've done wrong. Because once you say it out loud or in your head to your God, well, that makes it real. That means that you know that what you're doing is wrong and you're going to have to stop it. Why else might we fail to use this prayer? Maybe, I mean, fill in the blank. What are some reasons that you have found that you have neglected your prayer life? It's not a sermon. It is a Bible class. I know it started out feeling very much like a sermon, but this is a Bible class, and I do want some answers. So, distractions. Things get in the way, don't they? We've got busy schedules, and sometimes we let that schedule get too busy. Feeling unworthy of bringing our things before God. Who am I to ask the creator of the universe for anything? I'm not worthy of him. He came to this earth and lived a perfect life, and yet I sin and spit on that gift of sacrifice that he gave for me. Who am I to come before him? What else? Yeah. Right. We think that my little things, what do they matter in the scheme of the universe? We get ourselves fatigued praying the same thing over and over again, and we start to tire of asking. John?
Prayer is work. Come and do prayer for Simeon. They were like drops of blood coming up there.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer is work. You're not looking for it, but you got to work at it. You got to state it. I mean, you just got to be taught to God.
That's right.
It takes work.
It takes work, John's saying. Yeah.
People are lazy about praying.
That's absolutely right.
They're just lazy. I can go on and on.
John says, when Jesus prayed in the garden, he prayed with drops of blood. He sweat drops of blood. He says it takes work to pray. And so maybe we're just not willing to put the work in. You know, you've got to set aside time to pray, right? You've got to think about what you're praying for. You've got to put work into it. That's right. Actually putting that in your heart. One of my teachers told me you've got to internalize the faith. Your faith can't just be, what somebody gave to you, just what somebody tells you to believe. You've got to put it in your own heart. You've got to actually believe it yourself. And if we don't, well, of course I'm not going to pray. If I don't really believe that God is listening, well, then I'm not going to. And so if my prayer life is lacking or becoming less often, maybe I need to think about where my faith actually is. Got one back here. Jackie? I said Jackie. Janice. Oh, sorry? Sometimes you don't know what to say. Yeah, Janice says, sometimes you just don't know what to say to God. Where does that come from? Does it come from maybe some shame that we've got built up? Does it come from not talking to God enough so you don't got practice? There's a lot of reasons why you might not know what to say. Yeah. Darren, you had something? Relying too much on yourself. why do I need the God of the universe if I can do it? You know, do we become arrogant like that? Yeah, we're used to solving our own issues. But there are things that are way too big for us. There are things that we can't help, but God can. Yes, maybe your life, you're not putting enough emphasis on either souls or your own soul, Cheryl says. Are we soul-minded? Are we thinking about others, or are we only thinking about number one? I mean, sometimes we do think way too much about myself and stop thinking about others. Yes. Yes. Do we realize that we've got help when it comes to prayer? How amazing is that? Not only does God ask us to pray, but He says, I'm going to help you alongside. I'm going to help you in that prayer. If there's things that you need to be praying about, God's going to remind you. He's going to bring it to your memory, but you've got to put practice on it. So if we want to apply this, if we want to put this idea, the fact that God is listening, how do I put that into practice? How do I change my heart to really believe that God is listening? Well, I've got just one piece of advice that has worked for me. I want you to think back at a moment in your life where you prayed for something specific and God answered it. I know if you think hard enough, you have at least one, maybe 10. One that I always tell my friends about, that this just like, it changed my life when I saw this happening. When I was just out of high school, I needed to get a job. I was living on, you know, my mom's couch, and every last penny that I made really mattered at that point. And so I was working at Toys R Us, and anybody who thinks about me probably thought he probably worked at Toys R Us. Anyhow, I worked at Toys R Us, and they only offered part-time for sales associates. And so I could only work, 27 or 28 and a half hours a week or something. And any more than that would, they'd have to pay you overtime. And so they're not going to do that. And so I was not making a lot of money at Toys R Us. And it came up that they said we're going to have a staff meeting on a Sunday morning. Well, when I took that job, I told the manager who hired me, I cannot work on Sundays and I cannot work on Wednesday evenings. And she agreed that that wouldn't be a problem. So when she said we're having this meeting, I said, I'm really sorry, I can't do that. Well, when my mom heard about this, who again, she was letting me stay on her couch, she was very angry with me because that is money that I can't afford to say no to. And I told her, Mom, God's going to take care of me. I don't know where this came from, but I said that to her. And I prayed about it. And Sunday came along. I didn't go. And Monday came, and I went to work. And first thing that happened Monday, my manager came up to me and says, hey, so-and-so called out, and I need somebody to cover their shift. Are you available? I'm not joking. It was the exact same hours that I would have gotten if I went to the meeting. So the money that my mom was worried about me not getting, I got. And I'm not bringing up this story to put like a little bit of praise on Robert. Good job, you stood up. No, that's not why I'm bringing this up. I want you to go through the same kind of process in your life. Because I know that there's a moment in your life where you have something like that, where you prayed for something hard, and it was specific in how you saw God answer it. And sometimes reminding yourself of that kind of moment is just what you need to kickstart your belief and trust that God is listening. And He's not. We're not just talking at no one. We're talking at our Lord, and He's listening to us. Back in Psalm 102, we'll continue reading from verses 3 through 10. The psalmist says, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread because of the sound of my groaning. My bones cling to my skin. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away." There is a lot of imagery that our psalmist is talking about here. And this imagery is supposed, I want us to notice how this psalmist is expressing his knowledge of the cares of his God. Look at the words that he says here. We don't see a man who's talking to a far distant God who doesn't know anything about him, like he's a stranger. In fact, he talks to him like he's a close friend, somebody who knows him, who knows where he's been, and knows deep things about him. Look what he says. We can see that he shows honesty, and he's not sparing the details. And look, and the words that he used there are very specific. He says that he's exhausted. Are there times where we feel weak? Do we realize that being stressed out is a reason to pray to God? Do we realize that telling God, "Hey, I'm struggling to deal with this," is a reason to pray to God? Look at how our psalmist is talking. He says, "I'm exhausted. Oh, I've been doing way too much. Too many things have been happening. Things are not going well at work. The kids are a nightmare." I hope that's not true. Yeah, but they might be. There's a lot of reasons why you might feel exhausted. Do you know there's a God that wants to know about that? There's a God who wants to know about that. Look how else he explains. He describes this heartbrokenness that he has. Look at verse 4. "My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread." Have you ever been so heartbroken that you neglect to feed yourself? Have you ever been so distressed that the thought of eating just makes you sick? One of my teachers at preaching school, he tells me, he said, "The book of Psalms is amazing because in the book of Psalms you can find every single human emotion. There is something to connect to. There's something in the book of Psalms that speaks to you." And the Psalm 102, I think, just really hits me because the words like this: "I forget to eat my bread." Have you been there? Look at the next verse. He says, "Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin." He says that right after talking about forgetting to nourish himself. Is it possible he's talking about literally being, starving himself? This groaning that he's having, this hunger that he's ignoring because of the suffering that he's going through? I think that's within the description here. Maybe he's emaciated from the lack of food. Maybe at some point in your life, or maybe somebody you know has taken their sorrow to the extreme. Do you know that there's a God that wants to hear about that? There's a God that wants to know that you are going to extremes, and He wants to pull you out of it. He wants to take you away from that kind of sorrow. Then he uses some imagery here that might be a little foreign to us. He says, "I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. Now, those last two sentences help us to understand what he's getting at. But so we understand, when we think of a pelican in the wilderness, that Hebrew word that's being translated there, it's a very general word for unclean birds. And so it's been traditionally translated as pelican, but it says he's a pelican in the wilderness. What do we imagine when we think of a pelican in the wilderness? Well, if he's in the wilderness, and that's a sea animal, he's far away from water, isn't he? And what else? He's an unclean animal? Are there times in your life where you feel unholy before God? Where you feel you are not good enough to be in his presence? That's a reason to pray to God. When you are distanced from God, when your sins have been pushing you away from God, or when you've allowed yourself to forget, there's only one kind of way to satisfy that kind of thirst. That's to go to Him, to go back to Him. God wants you to pray when you're feeling that way too. Did you know? If you've not felt close to God, do you know He wants to pray about that? Pray to God. Tell Him, I've been feeling distant from you. Tell Him. He wants to know. Yes. Did you hear that? He will do what? He's going to lift you up. That's right. I loved how David taught us about the parable of the lost son. Sometimes you got to get down before God can lift you up. But He's going to do it. And He's ready and willing, and He is excited and ready to run to meet you to help you back up. That's the God, kind of God that we serve, who cares. Yes, Eva? Mm-hmm. That's right. Does God care when our feelings have been hurt? You better believe it. He loves you. It doesn't matter if the world doesn't. He does. But that can be isolating. And so we need a God that we can talk to, and He is ready. So then he talks about being an owl of the desert. So when we think of an owl of the desert, and again, an owl we don't usually associate with out in the middle of the desert. We associate them with trees, right? With being in wooded areas. Well, that should help us understand what he's getting at here. We should be thinking of desolation, that this psalmist is feeling that they are far from where they should be, and that they are searching for sustenance. If an owl is lost in the desert, you know what he's going to be doing? He's going to be looking for mice. When we're feeling far from God, where do we go? We've got to turn to God. And again, that's something you can pray about. Pray to the God who wants to answer your prayers. Next thing he says, my enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away. Eating ashes like bread. What's he getting at there? What do you think it might mean to eat ashes like bread? What's that? He's mourning. The Jewish custom, right, was to wear sackcloth and ash, to cover themselves with ash, to show that they're in a state of mourning. So if he's eating ashes like bread, How deep is that mourning he's feeling? I was telling Rihanna the other day, you know, the last few years we have lost a lot of great women and men of God in this congregation. Thankfully, they went on to their reward. But for us that are left behind, it is sorrowful. We miss them. We wish that we could talk to them more. We wish we could laugh with them more. We wish that we could see them at church, go out to lunch with them. We miss them. When we have important people in their life and suddenly they're not there anymore, that consumes us, or it can consume us. And there are any number of sorrows that we might have in our life that can take us over, and our mourning becomes our daily bread. I'm not looking for food. I'm feeding off of the exact sorrow. That's what's keeping me going. The psalmist is talking about the deepest kind of sorrow here. Do you see that? And he's sharing it with his God. Is there anything that you can't take to God in prayer? Is there anything that is not good enough for him? Is there any sorrow, any trouble that God isn't willing and longing to hear about? The psalmist doesn't believe that. He believes that there's a God who wants to hear it all. Every last bit of it, he wants to hear. God wants to help carry our load. Turn with me really quick. Well, yeah, to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. I want you to see it. So keep Psalm 1 and 2 marked. But read that with me in your head. Jesus comes to this earth. God in flesh says to us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the God that you're praying to. Is that a God who cares? Yeah. He wants to answer you. Believe it when I say you can't waste God's time with your prayers. When you are praying to God, if you want to make your prayers rich, be like this psalmist and be specific. Don't talk to God like he is some mysterious entity that can't possibly be familiar with you. He made you. He formed you in your mother's womb. He has intimate knowledge of you that you don't even know. So you can talk to him like the closest friend you have. He died for you. You can be honest with him. Humility before God does not mean that we have to hold back. When there are things that we want to ask God for, we can ask him confidently. We can ask him knowing that he's going to answer us. And that doesn't mean that we're not humble. The humility part was answered when you knelt before him. Now let him lift you up. So don't hold back things from him. Talk with him. So let's apply this. And I want you to think about this. When you were a child and you needed to talk with your mother or father about what was bothering you, did you hold back because you didn't want to bother them? No. So don't hold back to your Heavenly Father. Tell him your heart's desires, and he is going to want to hear it. He cares. Third thing, and we'll go through this quickly. Verses 11 through 28. I say we're going to go through this quickly. It's the longest section of the psalm. How about that? Go me. Beginning in verse 11. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute. He shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those who were appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together in all the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, "Oh my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you." This is a long passage, but do you see the connecting message throughout this entire section? Is that all of these things that God has promised that to come to pass, the writer of this psalm believes it. He has no doubt that what God said will happen is going to happen. Why? Because God can't lie. Why? Because God is eternal. And he will endure. Nothing is too hard for our God. And he remains the same. In verse 12, we saw that it's his name that endures. In verse 13, we see that it's his mercy that endures. In verses 14 through 24, his promises endure. In verses 23 through 28, his nature, what makes God God, endures. It does not change. Why should this help my prayer life? Because you've got a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the same God that answered David. He's the same God who answered Jonah. Jonah, who had all sorts of issues. God was listening to him. The answers weren't what Jonah wanted to hear, but God answered him. He answered Job. And he's going to answer you. We can rest assured that God is going to answer every time that we call without fail. God answered the prayers of Israel, so how much more is he going to answer the prayers of the true Israel, which is the church? God cares about the church more than anything else in the entire universe because of the church of his Son. It's the church that brings the people whom he created back into a relationship with him. You're a member of that if you're a Christian. You are a part of the church that Christ died for. But let's also remember that God has the power to answer those prayers. He is mighty enough, and that cannot change. There's not a time that God gets tired of answering prayers. He's going to answer them just the same. When we grow weary, we can rely on our God who endures. So I want to make this application, and then the lesson is yours. There's an old saying, God will never give you more than you can handle. That is bogus. It just isn't true. Why? Because life is going to become overwhelming at times. Could Job, you know, when Job was sitting there after losing all of his children, after being sick, after his wife betraying him, could he, if somebody was to sit down and say, "Hey, it's okay, God doesn't give you more than you can handle," do you think he would have believed it? No, he wouldn't have. Because sins don't come from God. The bad things of this earth don't come from God. God doesn't, when somebody says God won't give you more than you can handle, God didn't give you the bad things in your life to begin with. All good things come from God and flow from the Father of lights. There is a God who created you, and He wants to listen to your prayers. He cares about your prayers, and He will endeavor to answer your prayers. Do you believe that? If there's ever a time that you start to fail in that, that you lose that faith, that you forsake your prayer life, go back to Psalm 102 and read these prayers of somebody who believed them with all of his heart. I hope you believe this with all your heart. And if you need to get closer to God, hopefully this lesson will give you the tools you need to draw nearer to your Father who loves you. Thank you.